I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our NFL playoff coverage here on 610 is brought to you by Twin Peaks. You can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by the play-by-play voice for the Cincinnati Bengals. Coming up in exactly 1 hour, we'll be joined by sports take extraordinaire Nick Wright. Will be on the show here coming up in an hour. We'll catch up with, in my opinion, one of the best sports opinion makers in the world. Nick Wright will be on the show here coming up in exactly 1 hour. Something I want you to save in your phone tomorrow, 5 o'clock hour. Tom Bahali will be in studio for the entire hour. Really excited to get a chance to catch up with Tom Bahali. He will be in studio tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Only fitting that we end our week with one of the greatest Chiefs players in their history. Tom Bahali will be on the show tomorrow at 5 o'clock in studio. So, text line, correct me if I'm wrong here, 913-586-7610, but this is my opinion. If we had to make the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks that you guys hate the most, I think this would be the Mount Rushmore. John Elway, he's like the George Washington of this. Peyton Manning, Colts and Broncos version, just Peyton Manning. No punt game, terrorized you with the Broncos. Elway, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady might be on the Mount Rushmore of every AFC team. No opposing fan base likes Tom Brady. Let's just be real. No one likes Tom Brady. And Phillip Rivers. Now, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong on that, 913-586-7610. I am open to the possibility that I am wrong about how you guys feel about this. I'm open to the possibility, but I think that's the four. Are we taking one of those guys off for Joe Burrow? Because I get the sense that you guys don't really like Joe Burrow. Now, I don't know if it has evolved into full-blown hate. Certainly not the way that it is for those first three. You guys hate Elway, you hate Peyton Manning, you hate Tom Brady. I'm not sure if there is a hatred towards Joe Burrow right now. I think it is a strong dislike. I'd put him in the Madison Bumgarner category. I don't think you guys hate Bumgarner. I just think you really, really dislike Madison Bumgarner. I don't think you hate him, though. I'm just curious where you guys are on Joe Burrow. It seems to me like he's got a little bit of a Chiefs killer vibe here, a little bit. I think it's still early to say that, but a little bit of a Chiefs killer vibe here. He appears to be Mahomes' biggest rival. He appears to be Mahomes' biggest threat at the Arrowhead Invitational. He did come into the city last year and win. They're now calling it Burrowhead. There's a chance he comes in and does it again on Sunday. I can see how the rivalry is forming. People texted in earlier. Hey, this one feels a little bit different. This one feels a little bit more personal. I don't like the way that Cincinnati has talked the last week. Which I wouldn't like the way that they've talked either if I were you guys. I wouldn't like it either. They've been really running off at the mouth. They've really been flapping at the gums over the last week or so. They've gone from, I would say, a very lovable underdog last year to now being overly arrogant for a team that you've done a little bit. I mean, you have one Super Bowl appearance. You guys are talking like you're the greatest show on turf. You're talking like you're the Broncos of the 2010. You guys haven't won the championship, but they're doing a lot of talking. I want to hear from you guys, 913-586-7610. Has Burrow reached a point that you can take one of these guys off and now you put Burrow on that Mount Rushmore. Maybe the Phillip Rivers monument comes down and Burrow goes up. I mean, Rivers was never the threat that Burrow is. I mean, Phillip Rivers never won one meaningful playoff game in his life. Burrow's won multiple meaningful playoff games and has only been to the playoffs twice. He's got another decade, we think, of playoff runs and playoff experience. I just want to know where you guys are at. 913-586-7610. Out of these four, Elway, Manning, Brady, and Rivers, if we're taking somebody down off the hate Mount Rushmore, and now we're putting up Joe Burrow's monument, replacing one of these four.
I think it's easy. I think you have to put Burrow on there. I don't want to speak for the fan base, but Phillip Rivers was annoying. Phillip Rivers was never hated. You want to know why? Because he never did anything in the playoffs that would have frustrated Chiefs fans. It was a week eight. He's clapping, he's pointing, and he's talking trash, but you know, he wasn't going to do anything in the playoffs. And most of the years that he would go to the playoffs, the Chiefs weren't doing anything in the playoffs because they were horrible. And the Chiefs got good, and Chiefs fans were just frustrated with Phillip, but they were never really threatened by Phillip. Everyone else on your list has beaten the Chiefs in a meaningful playoff game. Peyton Manning, the no-punt game. We don't have to mention the times that he walloped you with the Broncos. He was, what, 8-1, 7-1 with the Broncos? The no-punt game. That pain hurts worse. Tom Brady beat you in the AFC title game and in the Super Bowl. I don't need to say anymore. That one's obvious. John Elway beat you here in Arrowhead, in the divisional round, in the playoffs. Don't need to say anymore. Joe Burrow has beaten you here in the AFC Championship game with a chance to do it twice. Playoff hurts. Playoff losses hurt more. Burrow has to go on there.
Yeah, but I'm with you on Manning, though. I mean, I guess we could argue the no punt game is on this list. I mean, what's the second round of the postseason?
I mean, it's a divisional home game. I mean,
I would say that Burrow has delivered more pain in his short time than Peyton Manning did when he was on the Broncos. I would say that. Now, you got to also factor in the Colts time, but I mean, let's be honest here. The Chiefs very rarely were real competitors to the Colts in the 2000s. Like, the Colts were just better than the Chiefs were in the 2000s. They were just better than they were. I was just curious. I was thinking that. You know what I mean? That's the four, I think. Maybe I'm missing somebody, but I think those are the four. Elway, Manning, Brady, and Rivers. Was curious of Burrow. If you take Rivers off the list and now you put Burrow, is, hey, these are the four quarterbacks that I hate the most, because I just don't think that Burrow and Cincinnati are going anywhere. I don't think this is the last time that these two quarterbacks are going to play each other. Maybe they don't play each other next year in the AFC Championship game, but Joe Burrow is 25 years old. Patrick Mahomes is 27 years old. They both play in the AFC. I just think they're going to run into each other a time or two coming up in the future. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. He'll be on the show here coming up in a bit. So earlier today, we had on Juju Smith-Schuster. We asked him our 10 random questions. And Juju said that he went on Family Feud. Now, I did not know that Juju was on Family Feud. I did not know this. So he went on there against Ninja. Ninja is a very popular YouTube stream video game guy. So we cut the audio because I want to hear how good Juju was on Family Feud. I've never heard this. I've never seen this before. All right. So this is when they go up to the, they're like, give me Juju, give me Ninja. And they go up to the podium. All right, let's hear this. Let's hear if Juju's good at Family Feud.
Name something a woman says on the first date that would scare the daylights out of any man.
I love you.
I love you. Wow.
That's a good answer.
I love you.
No!
Two answers beat it, Juju.
But he gave Juju enough time.
I love you on the first date.
Hold on, Juju didn't get enough time there. He didn't get nearly enough time to play the game.
Juju froze.
He didn't get enough time.
Sounds like he froze.
I mean, the I don't know what the number one answer is. The number one answer is, I'm crazy. That's the number one answer.
I actually am surprised I love you in the number one answer. If someone says I love you on the first date, woof. They don't even admit they're crazy.
Has that ever happened before?
Probably.
Have you ever been on a date where you and the girl were talking, at the end of it, she said, I love you? I don't think that's ever happened.
Have you been on a date where she's like, hey, I'm crazy? Like, do women just admit that openly? No, they don't
she's
say.
She's far more inclined to tell you that she's crazy on the first date. Like, because you've asked this before. You've asked, hey, why are you single? Or what happened to your last relationship? And then she starts describing what happens in her last relationship. And then you might make an offhand comment about it. And then she might jokingly confirm, yes, I'm crazy. That's happened to That's happened to every guy. That's happened to you before, Rob. That's happened to you. You've been talking to a girl. You asked her what happened with her last boyfriend. She explains it, and her explanation sounds kind of crazy. She's not telling you she loves you on the first date. No, I don't know. I could see why that wasn't the number one answer.
Regardless, Juju froze in the moment.
He didn't get enough time there. He got 2 seconds to respond. Steve cheated my guy Juju Smith-Schuster. All right, I want to hear more of this. Juju was on the show earlier, and he said that he went on Family Feud. I had never heard of this before, so I just want to know if Juju's good at Family Feud, because Family Feud is one of the games. Family Feud and Wheel of Fortune are the two game shows I want to go on. Also, Supermarket Sweep.
Juju, 100 women, fill in the blank. My idea of a perfect night is me in bed with a blank.
With a dog.
Me in bed with a dog.
I think the number one answer there is good book. I think number one answer is good book.
Yeah, you don't need to get the number one answer, though. He scored.
Yeah, no, he scored. No. Just, all you got to do for your team in Family Feud is not get strikes. That's all you got to do. Just put points on the board. Every time it comes to you, just put points on the board. That's all you got to do. You will never get mad at your uncle if that's what he does every single time. He goes up there and puts points on the board. Points on the board. Can I just make a real quick offhand comment that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but just let me take a 30-second detour. Rob, does your girlfriend watch television with closed captioning?
No.
I'm convinced every woman does this. I know every woman doesn't do it. I don't know a woman that doesn't watch television with the... Why would I want to read this? Why would I want to read this? We're watching Power. Why do I want to read Power? Power the audio, but why would I want to do this? I'm telling you right now, those of you, if you're dating somebody, I guarantee you her closed caption is on. You know it is. I can't do it. I'm not reading the movie. No. I'm not reading Luke Cage on Netflix. Absolutely not. Why is the closed caption on for Love is Blind? They're not saying anything important enough for us to have the closed caption on for this show. I promise you that's not the case. All right, I'm back to the Chiefs now. I had to take a quick 30-second detour. But see, Rob, I'm back. I'm back focused. All right, one more Family Feud clip.
Juju, name a place where if you have to yawn, you try to hide it.
A job interview.
Woo, good answer.
This is for the win. Job interview.
I thought that was a good answer. Yeah, Juju got kind of, we got to have Juju on next week. I think Juju got kind of screwed on Family Feud, man. I think he got screwed a little bit there. I think Juju was a strong Family Feud player. That's a good answer. I think Church is the number one answer. I haven't seen it. I think Church, you don't want to be the guy yawning in church. You don't want to be that guy. You really don't want to be. Funeral also pretty high on there too. Normally at churches too. Yeah, I don't think Juju got a fair shake on there, man. I really don't think Juju got a fair shake on Family Feud. All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. We've heard the Chiefs' perspective. What do the Bengals think heading into this matchup against Kansas City on Sunday? We'll head to Cincinnati coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch former All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz Tuesday starting at 3 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sixth in Sports Radio, get off my bumper traffic.
This is former Chiefs All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz, and the best Chiefs content in town is right here with Carrington Harrison on The Drive.
Right now, we're joined by Dan Hoard. He is the Cincinnati Bengals play-by-play voice. Our NFL coverage on 610 is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. Dan, we appreciate you making time for us and hopping on today, man. Thanks a bunch.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I remember when I realized that Patrick Mahomes was different. He made a throw against the San Francisco 49ers that just not a lot of human beings can make. That was that moment for me where I'm like, hey, I think the Chiefs have something special at the quarterback position. When was that moment for you with Joe Burrow where you realized that Cincinnati had their answer in having a franchise quarterback?
I'll be honest with you, it was before he arrived in Cincinnati. So we knew the Bengals had the number one pick in the draft. We knew they were likely to take Joe Burrow. And then in the college football playoff, you'll remember the game against Oklahoma, the semifinal game, where he threw something like 8 touchdown passes in the first half. It was something ridiculous. You know, they won the game by a million points. And I remember watching that game on TV and just laughing, thinking, holy cow, did the Bengals stink at the right time? Because they're going to have the opportunity to draft this guy. And obviously he has lived up to any possible expectation any of us had and has exceeded it in his first 3 seasons.
I think a lot of times as sports people use cliches like, that guy's just got it. Man, Burrow's got it. There's just something about the way he carries himself. There's something about the way that he plays. There's something about at times their offensive line struggles, but it just doesn't seem to have any phase on his preparation. Burrow's just different than most quarterbacks in the league.
He is, and I've come up with 4 letters to describe why. It's very simple. Number one, S for smart. He knows what the defense is going to do before the ball is snapped. More like a Tom Brady than a guy who's 26 years old in his third NFL season. T, he's tough. He bounced back from the horrific knee injury and the following season was ready for opening day and took the Bengals to the Super Bowl. A, he is accurate. Statistically, he is the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. Now that he has enough passes to qualify, I'm using a completion percentage to make that case. And then finally, R, he is a ringleader. This franchise has marched to the beat of his drum from his first day here. So STAR, he is a star. And those are 4 reasons why.
Right now, we're talking to Dan Hoard. He is the play-by-play voice for the Cincinnati Bengals. Dan, is there any fear when it comes to Burrow about what it's going to look like once he gets paid? I mean, he's not playing under this contract for too much longer. And I'm sure by now you've seen the stat that Mahomes is the only player on that veteran deal that's starting. There's a lot of guys on rookie deals, and we know the advantages that it creates for your roster. Is there a worry when you take away a T. Higgins, you take away a Tyler Boyd, you take away a Hayden Hurst, what Burrow's going to look like once their roster starts to change?
There's a worry among fans, but there's no worry among Joe Burrow. He was asked the question a week or two ago about, you know, how long is the ideal Super Bowl window for you? And he said, the window's my entire career. And I interviewed the team's owner, Mike Brown, a few days after that, and I asked him about Joe Burrow's comment. And he said, that's true. The great quarterbacks find a way to make it happen. Mike Brown, the Bengals owner, specifically cited Patrick Mahomes as an example of that. So, yes, there are going to be salary cap challenges to come once Joe Burrow becomes the highest paid quarterback in the NFL or close to it. But I would like to think, and I do believe this, I think that Joe Burrow is going to try to structure his contract in such a way, much like Patrick Mahomes did by signing a 10-year deal, that allows the Bengals to keep players. You won't be able to keep them all. That's impossible when your quarterback, you know, makes $50 million or whatever it turns out to be. But I don't think he is going to demand that all of it is guaranteed or anything like that. I think he will try to find a way to keep guys like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins or whichever Bengal star you want to name.
I know how Mahomes gets treated here in Kansas City. He gets treated like a rock star. He should be. I think he's the best player in the National Football League and one of the biggest American athletes. What is it like for Burrow in Cincinnati?
It's exactly the same. He is a national coast-to-coast rock star. Cincinnati fans are thrilled that we have him, and you know, hopefully we'll have him for many, many years to come. He's reached the point where he can't go out publicly. I feel badly for anybody in those shoes. But he handles it well. He, you know, I think both of those quarterbacks benefit from the market that they're in. It's difficult, obviously, when you're a superstar of that magnitude, but it's probably not as crazy in places like Kansas City and Cincinnati like it would be in some bigger markets.
Right now we're talking to Dan Horde. He is the play-by-play voice for the Cincinnati Bengals. I do want to ask you some game-specific questions, but Eli Apple is not very popular here in Kansas City. How popular is he in Cincinnati?
I think there are probably some people that would prefer that he put his phone away, that are probably turned off by some of his posts on social media, and I get that. But I can tell you inside the locker room he's popular because he's played really well in his 2 years with the Bengals. He came here with a reputation of not having had a very good NFL career for a guy who was a top 10 draft pick, but he's been very solid for Cincinnati, and they've needed him to be solid and more than solid this year. They lost Chidobe Awuzie, their best cover corner, on Halloween night against Cleveland, and they haven't lost a game since. 10 in a row without their best cover corner, and the play of Eli Apple's been a big reason why.
It's been 24/7 ankle watch here in Kansas City, as you would imagine. Patrick Mahomes, who knows what percentage he's going to play within the game. I know how closely we're tracking it. How closely are people in Cincinnati tracking it, or is it a, hey, we think Mahomes is going to play, we're ready to play up against anybody?
Well, everybody here is tracking it very closely, as you can imagine. But I think there's a feeling here and an understanding that he will play. His mobility is probably going to be a little bit compromised. But so what? He's Patrick Mahomes. He'll find a way. You know, one of the strengths, is, as you know better than I do, is his ability to run around and create plays outside of the pocket. And that might be missing. But if he's confined to the pocket, he might have the greatest arm talent of any quarterback in the history of the league. So nobody here is expecting a compromised Patrick Mahomes not to still be one of the best players in the game.
If you were out to dinner and somebody came up to you and asked you, hey, Dan, Kansas City's a really good team, why do you think Cincinnati is 3-0 against them? What would your answer be?
I think more than anything else, the Bengals defense has done an incredibly good job of at least limiting the Chiefs. You're not going to shut them down. Kansas City scored more than 30 points in one of those games, and the Bengals still won it 34-31. But I think the Bengals have probably had at least more success defensively than most of the other teams that Kansas City has played. Having said that, they've played three games. All three games were decided by 3 points. One of those games went to overtime. When you're talking about games like that, there are probably breaks that go in the winning team's favor. I think that's been true for Cincinnati. So nobody looks at those three games as some sort of proof that the Bengals have the Chiefs' number or anything like that. They've managed to pull out three very tight, tense games, and I suspect that Sunday's game is going to fit that description as well.
I think a lot of Chiefs fans look at the three games as we had control of those games in various stages, whether it was the first matchup last year and then some penalties happened late in the game that kind of kept Cincinnati in it. Kansas City blew the lead in the AFC Championship game and just played very un-Chiefs football the last 30, 35 minutes of that one heading into overtime, and then the Kelce fumble earlier this year. I think Chiefs fans kind of look at it more like missed opportunities when it's come up against Cincinnati.
I can't argue with any of that. I think there have been missed opportunities by Kansas City. Everything you said was factual. On the other hand, you've got to take advantage of those opportunities, and you've got to make big plays on your end, and the Bengals have. Whether it was ripping the ball away from Travis Kelce, whether it was the deflection in overtime last year that was intercepted by Von Bell, obviously the Bengals had something to do with those plays, but there's certainly some truth to what Chiefs fans are feeling.
Right now we're talking to Dan Horde, voice for the Cincinnati Bengals here, for a couple of more minutes. Cincinnati did a really good job against Travis Kelce the last time. He had 4 catches for 56 yards. We just talked about it, had the big fumble. What did Cincinnati do the last time that these two teams played each other that really slowed him down?
Well, I think that's one of the strengths of Lou Anarumo. Like most of the great defensive minds, beginning with Bill Belichick, his objective is to try to take away your best player as much as humanly possible. Last year in the AFC Championship game, Travis Kelce had 10 catches for 95 yards, so it doesn't always work. Now, he was on the same field as Tyreek Hill that day, and the Bengals did a good job against Tyreek. But you know, Cincinnati is certainly going to gear its coverage toward trying to limit Travis as much as possible. The fact that he had 14 catches last week only makes that circle around him even bolder and brighter. So that's going to be the goal. But Andy Reid is one of the greatest offensive minds in the history of the game. So I'm sure he's going to scheme ways for Travis to get open as well.
Where's the place on the field that you think Cincinnati has the biggest advantage?
That's a good question. Maybe the running game. Isaiah Pacheco obviously has been great for about the last 10 games for Kansas City, and he actually averages more yards per carry than either Joe Mixon or Samaje Perine. I do think that the Bengals duo is outstanding. Perine had the big game in the regular season meeting this year with nearly 150 combined rushing and receiving yards, and Mixon was awesome last year in the AFC Championship game. Obviously, the receiving core for Cincinnati, if you don't, you know, include tight end as a receiver, I don't think there's a team in the league that's as good as Cincinnati there with Chase Higgins and Boyd. So I guess those would be the two things I would probably pick out, but it's not an overwhelming advantage, to say the least.
What are the places on the field that you're maybe most worried about that you think Kansas City could potentially exploit?
Well, the worry here is offensive line because of the three guys that are injured. They had the same five starting offensive linemen for 15 weeks, and then they started dropping like flies. They lost their right tackle on Christmas Eve. The Buffalo game obviously got postponed because of the DeMar Hamlin collapse, so that doesn't count. But in the game after that, they lost their right guard. And in the game after that, they lost their left tackle. It's generally impossible to overcome losing three starting offensive linemen at the very end of the season. But the subs played brilliantly last week against Buffalo. I think that was a very pleasant surprise to all of us. Can they do it again against a Chiefs front with Chris Jones leading the way is going to be a huge question mark for the Bengals in this game.
How has Cincinnati been able to do it? Because at least everybody else, and maybe it's not the concern in Cincinnati, it's been a, hey, this is the week that teams really get after Cincinnati. Look at all the injuries that they have on the offensive line, and yet last week it just wasn't an issue against Buffalo. How have they been able to scheme to really neutralize the fact that they have so many guys missing up front?
A couple of things. Number one, those guys played well, and the subs were high draft picks. So the starting left tackle last week and almost certainly this week will be a guy named Jackson Carman. He was a second-round draft pick last year. They tried him at guard last year. It didn't work out all that well. His college position was left tackle at Clemson on a national championship team. So he's a very talented player, and he played well last week. The starting right guard, Max Sharping, has come on. He was a second-round draft pick by Houston, another guy who's got an NFL pedigree. So at least they had talented players waiting in the wings, and those guys played well last week. And then in terms of the scheme, Joe Burrow gets it out of his hand as quickly as anybody but Tom Brady. Last week it was about 2.5 seconds per pass. So the offensive line has to protect Joe, but he also protects his offensive line by getting rid of the ball as quickly as just about anybody.
Two more things here, Dan, and we really appreciate your time. I'm really excited for this game. It's like we all knew that if Kansas City was going to go to the Super Bowl, that they were going to have to either beat Buffalo and Cincinnati. And now we're here that Cincinnati has just been such a thorn in the Chiefs' side over the last year, so that it's only fitting that if Kansas City wants to go to its third Super Bowl in four seasons, they have to overcome what has been their biggest challenge to do so.
Well, I'm excited about it as well because it's an AFC Championship game. And this is five in a row for you guys. That's unbelievable, especially to have all five at home. But the Bengals had never won playoff games in back-to-back seasons. This is new territory for this franchise. They had been to Super Bowls before. They've been to three so far. But they've never been able to sustain it like this. So to be in this position in back-to-back years against a team that's been so dominant over the last 5 years since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback is amazing. And again, as you know, a Super Bowl run galvanizes a city. There's nothing like the NFL to rally people. Men, women, young, old, it doesn't matter. Everybody loves the NFL. And right now this city is completely crazy for the Bengals.
Last question here, Dan. We ask everybody this question. Chiefs win if, in your mind, Bengals win if, in your opinion?
I think in the Chiefs' case, the Chiefs win if they consistently pressure Joe Burrow. And that's happened before. It was obviously the biggest reason why the Rams beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl last year. Cincinnati just could not handle Aaron Donald in the second half of that game, and the Bengals wound up losing with less than 2 minutes to go. I guess I would say the Bengals win the game if they once again manage to at least contain Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. Chiefs are going to score their points, but can it be a reasonable number? It's been 24 the last two times the team's played. If it's something like that again, I would like Cincinnati's chances.
That is Dan Hoare joining us on the show today. He is the play-by-play voice for the Cincinnati Bengals. Really good stuff today, Dan. Really appreciate you making time to join us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That's Dan Hoare joining us on the show today. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Nick Wright. Nick Wright of Fox Sports 1 will be on the show here coming up at the top of the hour. We will not be doing the hits today. We'll just catch up with Nick Wright, and that will be our biggest hit for the day. Nick will join us here coming up in about 30 minutes or so. I really think that this game, at least from the Chiefs' perspective, Rob, really comes down to exactly what he just said. Pressure. Can the Chiefs get pressure on Joe Burrow? In the last two matchups against Cincinnati, they have gotten two sacks. I don't care what these advanced metrics, what these people try to sell you. Getting two sacks in two games with the amount of dropbacks that Joe Burrow has is not good. They will try to sell you, oh, well, it's really pressure rate. Stop it. Stop it. No. The Chiefs have not done a good job getting after Joe Burrow. They didn't do a good job earlier in the season. Joe Burrow only really took that sack. I mean, it really was a, hey, do I throw the ball away here? I want to keep the clock moving, or do I just fall to the ground here, stay in bounds, and keep the clock moving? He chose to just fall on the ground, and the Chiefs registered a sack that way. I mean, football is simple. That's why I've been saying all week, protect the ball, protect your quarterback. The Chiefs have not done a good job of those two things in the three matchups that they've gone up against. And if you want to add a third thing, you got to do a much better job getting after their quarterback than you have in the first three matchups against them. I keep hearing about how great playoff Frank was. I'd love to see playoff Frank against Cincinnati. I didn't see him last year. I'd love to see him this year. Chris Jones, you were one of the three best defensive players in the National Football League this year. You're nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. People think that you are the best player in the league now at your position. We got to hear Chris Jones' name. It can't be missed sack, missed opportunity. I don't want to hear this. Well, you can affect the game. If Chris Jones gets multiple sacks in this game, they win. That simple. I don't care how hobbled Patrick Mahomes is on Sunday. If we're talking about Chris Jones having 1.5 sacks or two sacks in the game, then I believe they win the football game. Protect the ball. Protect your quarterback. Get after their quarterback. If the Chiefs can do those three things, I think this is the football game that they win. But so far against Cincinnati, they haven't done those three things consistently. And when you don't do those things, you leave yourself open to get beat. These two teams are very even. They played three times, three games. Cincinnati is +9 in those three games. They've won by a field goal in each of the three contests. It has been narrow margins between these two teams. Protect the ball. Protect your quarterback. Do a better job of getting out after Joe Burrow. And if you do, I think, two of the three of those things, I think the Chiefs win the game on Sunday. Rob, have you thought about the run that both of these quarterbacks have been on over the last few years? So 2018, we know, you know, Patrick Mahomes wins NFL MVP. Just Patrick Mahomes had one of the greatest seasons a quarterback has ever had. He threw for 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns back when they were just playing 16 games. Back in the good old days of the NFL, back when they were just playing 16 games. In 2018, Joe Burrow was a middling starter in the SEC. When Patrick Mahomes was winning NFL MVP, Joe Burrow threw 16 touchdown passes and completed 58% of his passes. It's fair to say that whenever Patrick Mahomes was winning NFL MVP, Joe Burrow was not an NFL prospect at that point. I think it's fair to say that. In 2018, you cannot tell me a quarterback who had only made 13 starts in his career and had thrown 18 career touchdowns in 3 years that he was an NFL prospect. He just was not at that point. He then had one of the greatest college football seasons we have ever seen. Joe Burrow completed 76% of his passes that year at LSU. Rob, he threw for 5,700 yards and had 60 touchdown passes. 60 that year at LSU. Patrick Mahomes just ho-hum, wins the Super Bowl. Ho-hum, just, yeah. Hey, you won the college championship. I won the NFL championship during that year. And then fast forward to the NFL. I mean, Joe Burrow has been one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL since he's gotten here. Since Burrow has been drafted, he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league. He was having a very productive rookie season, had a strong argument to win rookie of the year, got injured. The next year, they got Ja'Marr Chase, and they have not looked back. They haven't looked back. Burrow completed 70% of his passes last year, 34 touchdowns. This year, 35 touchdowns, 68% completion percentage, and got off to a really slow start. Those first two games of the season, Burrow was not Joe Burrow. He missed most of the offseason training stuff, had the appendicitis, all of that kind of stuff. He has bounced back. Like, we are seeing an all-time run from these two quarterbacks over the last 5 years. 5 years ago, Burrow was not on anybody's NFL radar. 5 years later, people think he's the second-best quarterback in the league. And over those last 5 years, Patrick Mahomes has been the best quarterback in the world. Best quarterback in the world. Say any quarterback, he's been better than them over the last 5 years. Since 2018, since taking over as a starting quarterback, these have been the two best quarterbacks in the world. Maybe you throw Rodgers in there in the conversation. He was in there too. And a sprinkle of Tom Brady during that time frame. I think you can argue that, like, the last 5 years from Burrow, they've probably been better than the last 5 years from Tom Brady. I think these have been the two best quarterbacks in the world over the last 5 years, if you include what Burrow did his last year at LSU when he was back in college. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Centric. Learn more at Centric.com/610. Rob, it is time for one of my favorite segments of the week. 913-586-7610. It is time to play University of. If you want to play, call Rob. 913-586-7610. It's University of time on The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15, right here on your official podcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Well, we're coming to your city.
It's the game that is sweeping the nation in popularity.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Time to play University of on The Drive.
One of my favorite games that we play, the game is so simple. I will give you a player. You tell me what university they went to. If you get four players out of five right, we give you a prize. If you don't, we hang up on you. So if I say, coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll be joined by Nick Wright. Rob, what college did Nick go to?
Syracuse.
Syracuse is the correct answer.
He also moonlights as the head coach of Marquette.
That is 100% true. All you got to do is tell me what college a player went to. If you do so, you win prizes. A game that is sweeping the city. Elijah, are you ready to play University of?
Yes, sir.
Joe Burrow.
Louisiana State University.
Eli Apple.
He is the Ohio State University.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Louisiana State University.
All right, I'm going throwback here because I've thrown you a couple fastballs. Former quarterback Akili Smith. Former quarterback Akili Smith.
Oh, is he Kentucky?
He did not go to Kentucky. Last one here, former Cincinnati Bengals running back Eric Bieniemy.
Oh, Colorado.
He did go to Colorado. Let me put you on hold there. He did go to Colorado. Somebody said, Rob, your Syracuse sounded kind of shaky. It did sound shaky. I noticed that, too. He wasn't very confident. That's where Nick went to school. He is actually in the Syracuse Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Little Nick Wright tidbit there. All right, Fee, you ready to play University of?
Let's go.
Do you know where Akili Smith went to college?
Yeah. He went to, he's a Duck, ain't he? Oregon.
He did go to Oregon. Joe Mixon.
OU, Sooner, Boomer.
He did go to Oklahoma. Former Bengals running back Rex Burkhead.
Burkhead. Is that BYU?
He did not go to BYU. Current Bengals running back, Samaje Perine.
OU.
He did go to OU. Last one here, Andy Dalton.
TCU, Horned Frog.
He did go to TCU. All right, let's put him on hold here. All right, callers 2-0 right now. Don't
worry. We're hemorrhaging pizzas.
It's going to do the degree of difficulty is picking up here. All right, Frank, you ready to play?
Yeah, no, you gave all the softballs out. I'm ready to play.
All right, Rex Burkhead, where do you go to school?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I have no clue.
All right, so nobody's gotten Rex Burkhead yet. Carson Palmer,
USC.
AJ Green,
University of Georgia.
Chad Ochocinco.
He went to Oregon State.
He did go to Oregon State. Last one, you need this one to win. Tyler Eifert, former tight end.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously, Steve, you're going to treat me like that?
Tyler Eifert.
Missouri. That's what it is. It's MIZ stuff. I get it. I have no clue.
Tyler Eifert, get you out of here, Frank. Will, somebody's going to tell me what school Rex Burkhead went to. Do you know what university Rex Burkhead went to?
Nebraska.
He did go to Nebraska. Do you know where Tyler Eifert went to school?
Notre Dame.
He did go to Notre Dame. T. Higgins, my favorite player.
Clemson.
Correct. You need this one to win. Keeping it with the tight ends, former Bengals tight end Jermaine Gresham.
Oh, man, I know that one.
It's a throwback for you.
Yeah. Damn, I can't think of it. We'll just go with Alabama.
He did not go there. All right, you got to get this one to get the pizza. Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd went to – oh, my God. Why can't I think of it? Oh, he went to Pitt.
He did go to Pitt. That's saved by the bell. I was about to hang up on you, Will. I was a second away from hanging up on Will. Text line zooming through University of right now. Zooming through it right now. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Do you know where Jermaine Gresham went to school?
He went to Oklahoma.
He did go to Oklahoma. Cedric Benson, former running back.
Texas.
He did go to Texas. Tomorrow, our 5 o'clock guest, Tom Bahali. Where did he go to school?
Oh, he went to Penn State.
Correct. Last one you need here. Oh, that's an easy one, Rob. Terrence Newman.
Terrence? Oh, he went to K-State.
He did go to K-State. That is all the names we have for today's University of today. I think we've reached the point that the callers have gotten too good at University of. They used to struggle with University of. No one struggles with the game anymore.
Someone on the text line pointed out the Jamar Chase one. We would have accepted former Kansas University commit. We would have accepted that.
Stop it.
If we had played this game, if the Steelers were in the playoffs, we would also have accepted Najee Harris, former Kansas football commit. Just want to make sure the rules are uniform there.
Okay. All right.
We would also accept we do it in basketball season and Bradley Beal, once recruited by Mizzou.
Did they recruit Bradley Beal? I don't know if we can guarantee that they recruited Bradley Beal. I don't know if we can guarantee that. Why did Rex Burkhead throw everybody off? You think they were confusing him with Danny Woodhead? Danny Woodhead and Rex Burkhead are the same person.
Because Danny Woodhead went to like a nowhere school.
I think it was like Morehead State, I think he went to.
I thought it was one of the Wisconsin Whitewaters or something.
I could be wrong. I said that with confidence, though. Oh, he went to Morehead State, yeah. Didn't he go to – he either went to Morehead State or like one of the Dakotas. He definitely went to a Dakota. Yeah, but they're the same person, though. 100% the same person.
By the way, if you Google Danny Woodhead, which I'm doing right now to get the answer to this, it pops up professional golfer. So that's...
He plays golf now?
Apparently.
Oh, wow. I had absolutely no clue. Look at what you learn. Look at what you learn.
He went to Chadron State College.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's in Nebraska, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in Nebraska.
D2 in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. No, I didn't know. I would have missed on Danny Woodhead. I certainly would have missed. All right. So coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Nick here. We don't have a whole lot of time before Nick joins us. I just want to play one little small little piece of audio for you guys. LeSean McCoy was on the I Am Athletes podcast, and he was talking about Eli Apple and all the yapping that he's been doing.
I said, hold up. Now, right now, Pat Bev might not be doing a lot, and he do a lot of trolling. I said, but Pat Bev got a first team all defense.
Yeah, he do.
Where Eli Apple. Oh, wait, first team defense, and he was a journeyman. he was cross seas and he got his stuff together.
Yeah.
Compared to Eli Apple was with the 10th pick in the first round. And year seven, he's been on four teams. They different. Yeah. And he got pros. He got zero Pro Bowls. I mean, like, he barely could pick his own number. So my thing is, like, they different. They different levels of ball players.
Eli Apple is doing so much talking in anticipation for this game. And I get it. Like, you got to carry yourself with a certain bravado, a certain swagger, especially when you're a corner. Like, you're just going to get beat from time to time. Like, that's just kind of what the position entails. You know, sometimes you're going to get beat. Whenever we have a guest on, I normally try to run through, you know, like what they've done, you know, especially if you got like a former football player. Tomorrow, when we have Tamba Haley come on at 5 o'clock, you know, I got to give Tamba his flowers, you know, 6-time Pro Bowler in the Penn State Hall of Fame. You know, you got to like say their accolades. Eli Apple's accolades are national champion in college, which is a tremendous accomplishment. I'm not hating on you winning a ring in college. Second team all Big Ten. That's it. Doesn't have anything else. Doesn't have a Pro Bowl. Hasn't won Defensive Player of the Week. No, nothing. He has done nothing in his career. Rob, he signed a contract with the Carolina Panthers on May 29th and was released by the team on October 27th in 2020. I'm serious. He signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the team in May of 2020 and was off the team before Halloween. He's done nothing in the league. What has Eli Apple done to warrant the amount of attention that we give Eli Apple? He has done nothing. I'm telling you, he is Steven Nelson with more Twitter followers is who he's been. He's been getting cooked ever since we've seen him. Eli Baked Apple is who he's been since he's been in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, very excited to be joined by our next guest, one of my best friends, my mentor. In my opinion, he is one of the top sports opinion makers in the world. Nick Wright will be on the show here coming up on the other side of the break, so hopefully you're here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.